Hello, this is Allison Carter with the Special Needs Podcast. The past couple of shows, I talked about some early intervention information and some possible warning signs of autism to look for in babies and toddlers. Now, today, I would like to get back to talking about more of the sensory processing stuff. On this show, I want to get into information about vestibular sensory processing. Vestibular sensory processing, as I mentioned in my first episode, is what helps you determine which way is up, or at least which direction your head is. This sense is stimulated by the three semicircular canals in your inner ears. These three semicircular canals are all positioned in your ears at three different angles, horizontal, vertical, and at an angle in between those. There are tiny hairs and fluid inside these canals. When you turn your head, the fluid moves in the opposite direction and stimulates the tiny hairs by bending them or rolling over them. Each time you start and stop moving your head, these tiny hairs are stimulated by the fluid moving and stopping or changing directions. When you spin in a continuous circle, the fluid gets moving and continues moving, so you don't notice the movement as much after a while. But when you stop spinning, the fluid takes a little longer to stop moving because it is fluid and not able to stop immediately. This can make you feel dizzy because your head is not moving anymore, but the fluid continues to move as if you are still spinning. Head movement is not just spinning, though. Head movement is when your head is moving through space in any direction, and the part when you notice the movement is at the time when you start and stop. This happens when our head is upright, tilted at any angle, including to the side, or down in front or back. It also happens when your head, which also usually means your body as well, is spinning around, moving up and down like bouncing or jumping, swinging front to back or side to side, running, and any other type of movement you can think of. The inner ear is the place that sends information to our brain, so our brain can then let us know which way is up. That way, we can make adjustments to our body and head to get there. It is our natural inclination as humans to want to keep our head upright. That is how our system was meant to be in a perfect world. You can see this with babies when they have the strength to start lifting up their head. They are motivated to do this naturally, assuming they don't have any developmental delays getting in the way. You can also see this when they are starting to sit upright with less support. And if they start to tip to the side, they will naturally keep their head in as much of an upright position as they can, and they try to move their body to get them back into an upright sitting position. With vestibular sensory processing, I see two main ways that kids are affected by this. One is where their vestibular system is oversensitive, so that any little movement of their head feels like a large movement of their head. And the other is where it takes them longer than it should to realize that their head is moving. Let's talk about these in more detail. The first situation with the overly sensitive system, a child who fits in this category will not want to move a lot. They will prefer to do sitting or sedentary activities rather than running, jumping, swinging type activities. In fact, they will usually resist getting on a swing or may even be scared of the swing when you place them on one and want to get down right away. What's happening for these kids is when they feel any movement of their head, in this case, moving up against gravity to be placed in a swing that is now slightly swaying back and forth, it feels to them like they are moving a lot more than they really are. The hairs are so sensitive to any movement of the fluid that a small swing forward, maybe only 1 foot forward, might feel like they moved 8 feet forward. I don't have any way to actually measure this inside them, but that is just a hypothetical example. Other things you might see with kids who are sensitive to this movement are things like, as a baby, they seem more content when you hold them without rocking in a rocking chair. They get upset when you toss them up in the air and catch them. They resist tipping their head back, like in the bath, to get their hair washed, or they resist laying back to get their diaper changed. They might appear scared on a trampoline or refuse to get on one in the first place. They might get car sick easily or other motion sickness more easily than others. They prefer to play on the ground rather than on the play sets at the park or in their backyard. And they'd rather keep their feet on the ground rather than climb up ladders or go down slides and get on the swings. They might seem clumsy and fall down a lot without meaning to. They might be described as a calm child. They might love to read or look at books and color and do puzzles or anything else that might be sedentary rather than running around or playing outside. While it's nice to have a child that is calm and wants to sit and play like a good little kid should, we also don't want them to have adverse reactions to movements, to where they get sick or feel sick going in the car or riding a bike. It can also be a safety issue because they could have trouble determining where their head is in space. They may tip over easily or they could get dizzy easily and fall down and get hurt. If they seem clumsy, this could be a serious issue when trying to learn how to walk up and down stairs and even navigate their outside environment safely. Some strategies to consider using with these kids are slowly introducing activities that starts to get their head moving. This should always be done at their pace and should not be pushed too far, because if you make them feel sick and possibly actually throw up from the feeling, you will only make them backtrack and resist the movements even more going forward. This is an excellent thing to discuss with an occupational therapist who can guide you through it appropriately for your child's individual needs. Keep in mind with this show today that I'm only taking into consideration the vestibular sensory information part of this. There could be other areas of sensory processing coming into play here, which should be considered for your own specific child. For the activities that I will give you as examples, keep in mind that whichever you find works for your child, these activities need to be done repeatedly. This means every day you do them a few times. Make it part of your routine, like after dinner, or sometime that is predictable and routine for them. Do not push them or rush things. Also, if you are doing the same activities, they will be more likely to want to try them and possibly push themselves without realizing it. Singing and making games out of these things are always fun and can be distracting enough to help them want to get moving. Some ideas might be having them walk around the room like different animals, like crab walking or being an elephant or a lion, which they have to move themselves around the room and try to find ways to get them to bend their head forward or to the side or at other angles at the same time. You can also sit on the floor across from them, hold their hands and sing row, 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 row your boat while rocking forward and back or side to side. You can also practice having them lie back and do sit-ups, which are not meant to be an ab workout for them, but just to practice feeling the head movement through space up and down. They can do this while holding your hand so that you can help them get up and down both. Also, another thing to do could be wheelbarrow walking, which is actually one of my favorite activities to do for this. And I usually tend to hold the kids at their waist to help them, and they can hold the weight on their hands. But a lot of people try to hold their feet, and that just makes it a big-time core workout for them, which isn't the point. The point is to get their head to change to a different position and to get them moving. So I give them a break, and I just hold on to their waist and help support their feet at the same time. A lot of times these kids will try to keep their head as upright as they possibly can, but you can have them walk forward on their hands and have them look for certain toys that maybe you've laid out around the room on the floor for them to find. That way they have to also look down on at the floor in front of them. You can also do just simple games where they walk around and pick up toys off the floor by bending over and standing up and reaching up high to put them in a bucket or giving them up to you to your hand higher up in the air. This activity would get them bending their head forward and lowering down towards the ground to get the toys. And then they can also go back up against the gravity and tilt their head up to look towards your hand or the bucket or whatever you have up higher for them to put the toys in. One of the tricks with this area is also that if the child feels secured, they often do better with swinging or jumping movements. And what I mean by this is that if you hold them tightly in your lap and gently swing with them on the swing set, they may start to tolerate it better or be more willing to try it. You can have them turn and face you in your lap so that the front of them is leaning up against your front or your chest, and they can hold on to you for security. That's fine too, as long as they stay in your lap and they can feel the movement. This strategy is considered a deep pressure type activity, which can help them feel more calm during the movements and keep them from getting nervous or anxious. Now, for the kids who have basically the opposite of this, they're the ones who take longer than they should for their brain to process that the fluid and hairs have moved in their inner ears. In this situation, think of it like this. If they are on a swing and it's moving, it would have to move 8 feet forward before they have even started to realize that they've moved at all. You can think of it as a delayed response, where it takes more intense movements and more movements in general for their ears to be stimulated. These are the kiddos that can spin and spin in circles and never seem to get dizzy. They are constantly on the go, running around the house all the time. They never want to sit still. It can appear as if they are hyperactive, and many times people will think they are doing this because they have ADHD. For the purpose of this discussion about sensory processing, that is not the case. They are doing this because they are trying their very best to get the fluid and hairs moving inside their ears without even realizing it. When they get the movements that stimulate their inner ears, they start to feel great. When they're getting enough stimulation, it helps them feel okay and ready to possibly sit and play or learn something or interact with other people. Kids who fall under this description love to run, jump, spin, rock, swing, and usually any other movement you can give them. These are the little ones that will want to swing forever. They will stay in the swing all day if you could let them, especially if you're pushing them. Think about this in terms of sensory processing. With the frequent change of direction in the swing, they're constantly stimulating their inner ears. Remember, it's the stop and go action that is stimulating or alerting in the system. So when the swing goes forward and back and continues to do this, they're getting alerting stimulation over and over again. A lot of times, these kids will run around and be on the go all the time. Without realizing it, they're trying to get the stimulation their body needs in order to feel good. However, too often they will end up just running around, which does not give them enough of the stop-and-go motions that they need to be stimulating for their inner ears. They naturally know they need to move, but don't understand what kind of movement they really need. That's where sensory experts come into play. And it is really up to the adults who care for these kids to help them get the appropriate movements they need on a daily basis. We have to help them find ways to get the change in head movement and positioning in order to stimulate all three of those semicircular canals. This includes a lot of jumping type activities, swinging in a blanket, or just regular outdoor swings, spinning, stopping, and spinning the other direction. You can do this with an office chair or having them sit in a laundry basket and spinning them on the carpet. Not continuous circles, but spin one direction, stop and go the other direction. You can also have them hang upside down and swing them side to side or back and forth, roll over a large ball on their belly and also on their back. Those are just a few examples. One thing to know here is that it does take about 20 minutes of intense movement activities to get them really feeling right. This doesn't mean doing hanging upside down for 20 minutes, but it does mean that you do several different types of these activities with all having the same idea of changing their head position and getting movement. If you have a child who has this type of sensory processing issue and you only do, let's say, 12 minutes of movement activities, then you have just ramped up their level but haven't fully met their sensory needs yet. What you will see in this case is they will actually become even more active and will possibly seem out of control or wound up at this point. These are the parents that tell me, it didn't work. I tried it and it didn't make them calm, it just made them more active. This is where an experienced occupational therapist can really help you, because some kids may need 25 minutes, and some may actually only need 17. There's not a magic 20-minute number, but that's just meant to be as a guideline. You should be able to tell that they are getting to the point where you can have them stop with the movements. If they're starting to want to sit down and play or look at a book or do a puzzle or something like that, this may seem like we're trying to wear them out, but that is not the case. Although it could be a good workout for them and usually the adults that are helping them, the point is to get their head moving and changing position to get them stimulated to the point where they feel calm inside. One scenario that does come up a lot is one that I see with kids that have trouble falling asleep at night and also at nap time. Their parents will tell me about their bedtime routine and how it involves bath time and brushing teeth and reading a book to be calm and help them settle down. This is a nice routine and does work for many kids. However, those kids who need to stimulate their vestibular system in order to feel calm aren't getting any of the movements they need to help them actually settle down for sleeping. It seems counterintuitive to parents when I tell them, instead of a quiet book immediately after their bath, do some movement activities for about 20 minutes, and once they seem to be calming down from that, then you can brush their teeth and read a book and complete the rest of your routine before laying them down. The effects of these movements last different lengths of time for everyone. The general idea is that they should continue to feel calm anywhere from 2 to 4 hours after the 20 minutes of movement. You will need to take note of what works best for your own child and how long each combination of activities seems to last for them. I'm not guaranteeing that this different bedtime routine will make all the difference for your child, but it is one option that people try once we determine what their sensory processing looks like. It may be the case that other systems also need to be addressed, and that could be affecting their ability to fall asleep at night. Again, for this show, I'm strictly focusing on the vestibular system. For both of these types of vestibular sensory processing, if the child indicates to you that they don't feel well or that they want you to stop helping them do the movement activities, please listen to them and stop. This is an area that when you make them feel dizzy, and if you keep going and don't stop when they need to, you can make their stomach upset and they could actually throw up. You don't want to do that, obviously. We want this to be fun for them, and making them sick will only get in the way of that. So make sure you listen to them and don't push them too far. That's all I have for today. If you have any questions about this topic or anything else related to child development, please send me an email at Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at mymidwesttherapy.com, and I will try my best to help answer any general questions. I can't make any diagnoses or specific recommendations for your individual child, but I can try to help you understand the concepts surrounding sensory processing and general child development questions. Also, if you go to my website, mymidwesttherapy.com, you can find items that I posted that you might find interesting related to vestibular sensory processing. The products that I post here are ones that I personally use with families that I work with in private therapy, and I found that they can be very useful. Thank you so much for listening.